see, the University of Mississippi had its own United States Post Office right there on the campus. The students picked up and posted their own mail at that office. The problem was the postmaster. He was a jerk. Bill didn't want that job in the first place. Friends convinced him he needed the job and pulled some strings, but Bill took a civil service exam and he passed somehow. And he became United States Postmaster for the University of Mississippi. One wonders how much of his personal history was recorded on his application, because Bill had been a high school dropout. He'd been a United States Army reject. He'd been a college dropout. In fact, it was at Ole Miss that he managed to get accepted, and where he failed to complete his freshman year. And now here he is back, age 24, in the non-academic position of campus postmaster. The solemn responsibility of being an employee of the United States government never really dawned on Bill, and he never really appreciated how easy the job was. Another postal employee transported the incoming and outgoing mail between the train station and the post office. That left Bill with sorting the mail and selling stamps, and that was about it. But even that was too much for him. Earliest complaints were that it took Bill too long to begin sorting the incoming mail. There were often long lines of restless students outside the post office. And even in more direct ways, Bill was a public relations failure. His attitude toward post office patrons ranged from indifferent to hostile. Back there behind the window, he always seemed to be sitting down and frequently engaged in reading a magazine which had been mailed to somebody else. One of the few times that he actually spoke, it was to say that he did not intend to be at the beck and call of every expletive deleted who had 2 cents to buy a stamp. Pretty soon, Bill was spending more and more time away from the post office. According to one reliable source, he used to walk around staring at trees as though studying each leaf. Well, brooding is what he was doing. And then the final indignity. It wasn't enough that he was slow in fulfilling what duties he had, that he was cold and sometimes even insulting to his patrons, that he neglected even the basic responsibility of staying on the post office premises. Bill actually began throwing away the mail. In fact, students and faculty members could often be found rummaging through the post office trash cans in search of personal and official correspondence. Well, it took United States postal authorities almost 3 years to get rid of Bill. That he was not ultimately thrown in jail was credited to one government inspector with a sense of humor. Bill wound up shoveling coal at a Mississippi power plant until he failed at that also. So he did the only thing that was left to do. He became an author and won the Pulitzer Prize. And he won it twice. You see, the Mississippi postmaster who threw away the mail was William Faulkner. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, we're back. I'm sitting here with Dorian Baker and Mike Harvey from 511 Media. We're talking all things prep for the 2026 midterm elections. And so, as promised, we did our homework over the break, and we got specific dates. And so, what was the rule? It's 90 days before
it's
the
election. Like 113 to 88 days.
Okay.
And of course, leave it to the state government to have some weird day range in there.
90 or something.
It can't be an even number.
So, if the bottom line, so if you're going to run, if you're going to be on the ballot in June, you have to have registered no later than March 6th. And then, if you're running for school board, you have to have filed no later than August 7th. And so don't wait until 4 o'clock on the afternoon of the 7th and show up then. So, Mike, let's talk a little bit about strategies and some of the good, bad, and ugly practices that you've seen in your experience?
Yeah. So, you know, you were talking about everybody being on the same page. That's hugely important. I agree with that, right? I haven't got a chance to share any of this with you yet, Kenny, but I will, trust me. We put together a statewide coalition map so that everybody's working together on the same page is ultimately the goal, right? Because mm-hmm. We all want the same things. We just are all going, you know, and that's the great thing, and also sometimes to our detriment of the conservative movement, is we're individualists. Right?
Right.
But with that comes everybody going in, you know, 100 different directions. If you got 100 people there, they're going in, 200 different directions.
Yeah. And that's one of the concerns that I've seen. And really, I guess it's probably statewide, but here locally, you know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day who's kind of a Democrat. And he joked that, you know, there are basically three political parties in San Luis Obispo County. One is the Democrat Party, which is a monolithic organization. And, you know, if you don't vote party line, they probably, you know, what's the term that's being used now? They disappear you.
Yeah. Well, if you look at, both parties, frankly, and there's talk about, you know, it's at some point in the past, did they switch sides or, you know, they switch viewpoints or whatever. But if you really look up what makes up each of the parties, and I watched a really interesting video about this. I'll send it to you, Kenny. But we see all these quote factions right all over the place, but what that is really they're individual groups that make up the party, and the parties are almost more of like a container for those group different ideologies,
right? And that's something that's always struck me as the Achilles heel for the Democrat Party, because when you look at this I'm using air quotes, but the coalition that was created by Barack Obama back in 2008. In my opinion, it was inevitable that it was going to collapse, because you had environmentalists, you had all these different race groups, and then you had labor. And just looking at the environmentalists and labor, they were almost diametrically opposed to one another, because one was caught, you know, if you looked at labor and things like, the steel industry or the automobile industry, or you name whatever kind of heavy industry that's going to give people a living wage and help them, you know, advance, you know, into upper middle class, that's to the detriment of what the environmentalists want in terms of saving the, you know, the three-toed spotted whatever. And the fact that this Democrat coalition has stayed together as long as it has, really, I was kind of being tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, I think there is some sort of aspect that if you don't go along with the party line, you know, we're going to disappear you.
Yeah. No, I mean, there definitely is, right? Especially if you look at California politics and the whole Pelosi family and the secession. And, you know, there's a whole plan of everybody moving up the rungs. Like, you look out just over in Kern County and you have, basically kind of the East and the West are separated. So you got a different state assembly member and a different state senate, depending on which side of the, and even a congressman, depending on which side of the city you live on. And, but on the, if you look at the Democrat side, you see, this person's moving up to this seat, this person's moving up to this seat, and so on. And they have it all mapped out and all planned out. But the Republicans, like, we don't yet, and we're working to change that, but we don't yet have that infrastructure built. But the other thing that is Republicans, what we don't do, or at least I haven't seen done, and we, at least my group is trying to really analyze, like, what are the Democrats doing that is effective, that's causing them to win so much in California? And part of it is working with the labor groups, California Teachers Association, the SEIU Service Employees International Union, which is all the government employees, and and then working with all these different NGOs all over the place, like the Dolores Huerta Foundation, who in Kern County is essentially is the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. But they all work together, and there's a lot of corruption. But both of those particular unions support financially and create the foot soldier army for the Democrat Party.
Yeah, and to continue your thought, one of the things that I think really hampers the Republican Party is the brand is so damaged in the state. I think a lot of voters in the state of California will probably just look to see if there's an R or a D behind the name and vote for the D, because that's what they've been conditioned by society.
Well, and I personally rarely talk about Republican. I talk about conservative, because even in the Republican Party, it's damaged to a degree, because you got a whole bunch of Republicans that aren't conservative. Like, essentially all conservatives are Republican, but not all Republicans are conservative. So there's a huge chasm there.
Yeah, no, I get that. And going back kind of to the best practices, when I got kicked off the board, I exceeded my expectations. I thought I would had lasted two meetings before I got kicked off, but it was one. But one of the things that I tried to do, I was kicked off basically over the transgender issue.
Okay.
Since I don't think you know that story, but
I don't.
The thing that I tried to really avoid during the meeting or during the campaign was I didn't focus on the transgender or the lightning issue. I focused on things that people really couldn't ignore and would probably agree on, like academic performance.
Mm-hmm.
I really dug into two things. One was the fact that, the test scores for the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District were abysmal.
Yeah.
And nobody had ever talked about that. I don't know, Dorian had been on the board for 2 years by that point, but the few meetings that I'd been to during 2022 leading up to that, I'd never heard any mention or discussion of academic performance at all. And when I brought it up, I had friends of mine whose kids were at Paso High telling me I'd made that up. And I'm like, no, here's the link to the state page. And so where I'm going with this is I think there are a lot of, when you look at the pot, the Democrat voter pot, the Republican voter pot, and then the no party preference voter pot, I think there are a lot of things that are common. You could find common ground between all three of those groups.
Well, and you bring up this boys and girls sports issue, right? That's a 90-10 issue.
Yeah. I've heard 80-20, but it's still a valid.
Depending on what you're looking at. But, I mean, it's hugely one-sided. And so you have these radical activists that are pushing this agenda. And meanwhile, you have Title IX. You have these girls that you mentioned. Riley Gaines is doing some tremendous things in that. But, over in Kern County, we are doing the recall of two school board members.
Bring that up, because I had brought up earlier a couple weeks ago or months ago now that Kern County High School District, when was that, October or November, where they passed a resolution.
Yeah.
Basically, all that resolution says is we support Title IX.
Right.
And we're going to write a letter to the state assembly saying that you need to protect girls' private spaces and their Title IX rights.
Right.
And so what happened at Kern?
It came up for a vote, and it was a resolution to continue on that, and it was just like a few weeks ago, our friend brought it up, Derek, and he's brought it up to vote, and then he waited a while because he was waiting for one particular member, and there's a whole backstory of child abuse and other things for that particular member, but we won't get into that now. There was waiting for this one particular member to second the motion. Didn't do it. Silence for if we had that much silence on air right now,
Kevin would be
flipping his lid. But so finally, the other conservative on the board seconded the motion, went up for a vote, and so that the third member was kind of backed in a corner and had to support it.
And they're a five member board.
Okay. So there was two of them that opposed it, and they could have just abstained and it would have still passed. But instead, they decided they were going to show their cards and say no, I'm not going to support this. And based on that, a group of us got together and we're recalling those two members. And I'm putting any school board member that is in support of boys in the girls' locker room, boys in the girls' bathroom, boys in girls' sports, I'm putting you on notice right now. Right now, we're doing this in Kern County. This is our pilot program. We're going to take this on tour throughout the state.
Well, we got. Wonderful. Yeah, we got one here probably that could be called.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully the other three will get voted out in November.
Yeah.
But so I'm trying to recall the story from Derek. He what his last name is?
Tysinger.
Heisinger.
Tysinger. Yeah, Tysinger. And there may be listeners listening to this radio station that know he, you know, he has a place over here too. So.
Oh, that's right. He told me that.
Yeah.
I met him when I was at the Pacific Research Institute's conference a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you got a military background in common, too.
Yeah, he was Air Force, which is kind of military. No offense.
Well, you're the Marine, the hardcore with the sword, right? Did you actually have a sword?
I have a sword. It's up on my wall.
There you go.
Right below my father's sword.
But anyway, you know, it's going to... We're raising money to make this happen, but we're also putting the ground game together to act as if we're going to do this all with no money.
Right.
Right. So we're covering the bases on both sides, and we're going to be effective with this.
Yeah. When he had a very interesting story about what was the catalyst that caused them to do this. And it was, there was another school district that refused to play, I don't know which high school, but one of the high school's teams, because they had a transgender on their team in the Kern High School District.
Yeah.
And that's what really started this ball rolling. And when I heard his story, I mean, I look at Paso Robles High School, you know, we're guilty from two counts. You know, we're exposing our girls. They have to compete against biological boys. And then we also have girls from other districts that have to, we have biological boys on our girls' teams and at Paso High, and we're making other girls compete against them. So we're guilty on two counts. I don't understand the logic, but I would be all for trying to recall, the one.
Well, and again, this is not a minority issue. This is a majority of people. At least 80%, right?
I had to write a response to two of the board members, Joel Peterson and Jim Cogan, both who were up for re-election, basically went after me in one of the local papers, saying that it was misinformation. I was making all this up. Subsequently, the girls have stepped forward and said, "No, we're not making this up. This is."
Yeah, and we want to make a point to give those girls more of a platform if they will receive it, because their story needs to be heard in the state of California.
Yeah, there are lots of pockets of resistance, I'll call it.
Oh yeah,
but you know, Harupa School District, which is down in Riverside County, I believe, that's where the A.B. Hernandez. Kid.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
He goes by Abby. Abby is like 6'1", 210.
Right, right.
But it's a girl, and you know, you've got a couple of lawsuits coming out of that area where advocates for faith and freedom are representing those families. But you know, when I had to respond to Cogan and Peterson. The research I did in January, nationwide, the last poll that was done, it's about 80-20 nationwide, with about 70% of Democrats opposing boys and girls sports. And so, again, getting back to the Democrat Party, this is where, I think the coalition is going to fall apart. Let's look at the Latino community. Latino community is, you know, much more conservative culturally than the Anglo community.
Generally, yeah, but we also got to remember,
putting up with this.
no single community is a monolith either, right?
Well, that's true.
So we look at like Hispanic community. Well, what kind of Hispanics are we talking about? Are we talking about first generation, second generation, third generation? Are we talking about people who their fathers or grandfathers or grandmothers came over legally or illegally? And it all varies on where they stand on things.
No, that's an excellent point. I mean, and also looking at Latin America,
right.
There's a big difference between a Mexican Latino and a Chilean Latino.
100%.
Ms. Dorian.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think conservatives are much more likely as a block to vote on ideological matters. Whereas I think a lot of the Democrats, they may feel very strongly in opposition to the boys and girls sports, but they'll still vote. They'll still vote Democrat because that's what they're used to doing. That's what their families have done. It's generational. Whatever the reason is, they feel like they can put they can say, I'm voting Democrat, but I oppose this.
Well, and Dorian, that kind of brings us into something we discussed off air earlier is, you know, we the closest anybody who's not involved in some of these groups we mentioned earlier really gets to, you know, plugging into what's really going on in the political side is either listening to the radio here from right. like this or watching, you know, Fox News or something like that. We need to do a better job as a party as a whole. And this is something, again, that, you know, I'm doubling down on is getting out there and talking to all of the various groups that aren't already plugged in, because there is, you know, a very good percentage of people. I don't know what the percentage is, and it varies city by city, group by group, and, you know, demographic by demographic. But there's people in every single one of those Rotary clubs or chambers of commerce or church groups that agree with us, and but they either aren't plugged in or they don't know how to be plugged in.
Yeah, and that's I think that's where I'm hoping that you two can, you know, help point people in the right direction. We got a couple minutes before the break, but I wanted to talk about you know, as we go into the next segment, I want to cover part of an article that I pulled off the internet the other day. It was in the Patriot Post, and it's called California's One-Party Government Isn't Aging Too Well. And it's by Sophie Starkova. But it starts out, California is the future, always about 15 years ahead of the rest of the country, touted Peter Layden, CEO of a media startup called Reinvent, and Roy Tejera, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, in a 2018 essay. They contended that California represented America's political future of a one-party state, and that Republicans needed to be booted out of all government across the entire country. What do you think the odds are for that right now, Mike?
Man, that's well, it remains to be seen. But yeah, that's a tough question.
All right, well, short break. We'll be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending the day and week higher, with the Dow and S&P 500 notching record closes following sluggish December hiring. Tech gained while healthcare and financials lagged. The Magnificent Seven big tech stocks were mostly higher for the day and week. Shares of Alphabet rose over 1%, with the Google parent hitting an all-time high for its second straight record close. Shares of Oklo and Vistra surged after Facebook parent Meta Platforms announced it had inked landmark agreements with the nuclear energy companies to power its AI projects. The Dow winners, Home Depot, Caterpillar, and Sherwin-Williams. The Dow decliners, American Express, Amgen, and United Health. The Dow up 238 points for its third record close of the year. NASDAQ higher by 191. S&P 500 up 45 for its second record close of the year. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. He's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent. like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Hi, this is Sunny from the Floral Parlor right next to Bridge Sportsman in downtown Paso Robles. When you're grabbing your guns, grab some roses. Because friends don't let friends buy grocery store flowers, please support my small local flower shop. Swing by the Floral Parlor and say hello and receive a free mini bouquet. Yes, a free bouquet. We're a full-service florist serving and delivering beautiful fresh flowers on the Central Coast. Check out our website, thefloralparlor.com. We're on Spring Street across from the Boot Barn. See you soon.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
All right, we're moving into the bottom of the show here. Let me finish up with a couple things on this article. So the article basically focuses on why there are no Democrats, big-name Democrats, running for the governorship this year. And it goes down, and I'll sort of give you the pull line here. It says, granted, California is the richest and most populous state for now, in parentheses, and it has many significant advantages that other states don't. Productive farmlands, Silicon Valley, two of the biggest ports in the country, Hollywood, and plenty of top universities, to name a few. But when you have leadership that squanders these advantages, it starts to take a toll. As National Review's Jim Garrity wrote 2 weeks ago, quote, U.S. News and World Report ranks each state on a wide variety of categories. In the most recent assessment, California ranked dead last in opportunity, and I'll get back to that, dead last in affordability, 47th in employment, 47th in energy infrastructure, 46th in air and water quality, which I find ironic since the freaking environmentalists run the show, 45th in growth, 42nd in public safety, 42nd in short-term fiscal stability, and 37th in K-12 education. The tax Foundation ranks California 48th in its most recent state tax competitiveness index. For five straight years, California has ranked highest in people moving out of the state, according to the U-Haul's data. Bankrate found California was the 47th best state for retirement. California ranks fifth worst in roads and third worst in drivers, second highest in accident rates, and second worst in drunk driving. I mean, right there, that's the platform for the Republican Party.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing in there about, you know, any of the hot button culture war issues. This is something that affects every one of the 39 million people in California.
100%.
And you know, this is what I suspect that, you know, Chad Bianco and Steve Hilton will run on. And I'm hoping that, you know, you can boil that down to a local level as well. And so how, you know, that laundry list that I gave you, you know, how do you both see working that in on a local level? I mean, obviously education, the state ranks, I think we're actually below. This says 37th. I read the other day that we were 43rd based off of the national ranking. But in California, Paso Robles ranks, I think, 900th out of the 1,200 school districts in the state.
Well, we've been a horribly mismanaged state for decades, right? Probably almost as long as I've been alive, if not right around that time, right?
Right.
And we're seeing, you know, they're grasping at straws. And I've said for, you know, many years, like maybe more than a decade, that at some point California, if they continue on this trajectory, there's going to be nothing here but homeless people and illegal immigrants.
Yeah, it'll be a third world country.
Right. And like we see, you know, we were talking about that during the break. Like we see these homeless encampments all over the place. Like I know there were some homeless kind of in San Luis Obispo County, you know, prior to this, but like over in Kern County, you didn't see people camped up in front of the stores everywhere, trash everywhere, tents everywhere, fires burning all over the place because, you know, people out of their minds have started fires, and we're instituting laws in the state of California that are continuing to drive anybody with means out of the country. Now we're gonna attempt to tax billionaires. billionaires. Billionaires are like, sorry, dude, we're out. We lost Chevron headquarters. We've lost refineries. We're on trajectory to have $8 a gallon gas. I mean, take your pick. There are so many issues that we can run on in the state. And so your question was, you know, how do we boil that down to the local level? Well, I think a part of it is just education, because, you know, we need more people to be active on social media, getting the word out. But you know, because that's what the young generation pays attention to. They're not listening to this radio show. They're not watching Fox News.
Listening?
They're on their phones constantly.
they're so
much on the phone that they don't even know how to talk to an adult human being, right? But they know, you know how to get the message to them that way. Right. But having them, people in general, educated that our local elections not only matter, but frankly matter more than state elections or federal elections.
My philosophy in politics, and we were talking before the break, you know, I'm not a party person.
Yeah.
I love my country, but I've never been a party line ICNR behind somebody's name.
Well, because you stay educated about the issues.
Yeah, and I'm gonna vote for whoever I think the best individual is. But when you look at what's going on in the state of California, you know, the Democrat Party's just gone completely off the rails. Yeah. And I think when you have, we were talking about the transgender issue, when you have 70% of your own party that is not in favor of what the leadership of that party are advocating, you know, the boys and girls sports, you have a target-rich environment. I mean, you can poach a lot of people from that party.
Right, and we can make a difference on the local level when you look at school boards like Kern County that have done away with boys and girls sports because of that.
Yeah.
And the state's still pushing for boys and girls sports, but in Kern County, we've banned it.
Yeah, you know, before the break, we were talking about, you know, it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not. You know, California's becoming a third-world country.
Yeah, very much so.
You know,
I don't think there's anybody listening that would disagree with that.
I haven't really in my heart, I really want to talk about Venezuela because I spent a lot of time dealing with those people down there.
Well, let's go there.
When you looked at Venezuela, you know, up until Hugo Chavez he was elected in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tried to stage a coup in the early 90s. But Venezuela was, when you looked at the GDP, it had the third largest GDP in the Western Hemisphere. So it was U.S., I think Brazil, and then Venezuela. Quality of standard of living for the people was pretty much up there around Canada and Argentina.
Yeah, it was really high. I mean, it was pretty high. You look at pictures from that time period, it was nice. It was like almost like being in California.
You know, after 28 years of one-party rule, which is what, you know, how many years of
dictatorship, authoritarianship?
How many years of one-party rule have we had in this state? 2012?
At least, yeah.
So we're coming up on, you know, 13, 14 years. But, you know, after 28 years and of one-party rule, you have a narco-terrorist state where people have eaten all the animals in the zoo. There's, you know, they're eating rats off the street. You can't, you know, toilet paper's a luxury item. You know, if you had told a Venezuelan back in 1990 that was going to be their country, they wouldn't have believed you.
Correct.
You look at, you know, less dramatic examples of national collapse. Greece, you know, 15 years ago, where pension funds evaporated. You know, all that stuff is very possible here, especially when you look at the degree of corruption. You know, that right now, you know, you know, the back and forth. I saw this beautifully done AI video making fun of Newsom's State of the State yesterday. Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious if you can find it on social media. It's worth looking at. But when you look at the degree of fraud that they think exists in the state, they're talking about $250 billion.
Yeah. Well, you look at what happened in Minnesota, and my prediction on that is Walz will resign within 60 days. It's as if Governor Newsom went to Walz and said, you think you got a lot of fraud? Hold my beer. I can do better.
Well, that's what he says in the video.
Oh, it's there you go.
There's some profanity, some dicey language, but it's exactly what he says. Hold my beer. You think you do corruption? I do corruption. But all these things, you know, when you add them up, I cannot understand how the Republican Party cannot take advantage of this. And, you know, I pulled up before in my prep, looking at, again, the state assembly and the state Senate races. You know, we've got Don Addis, and I'll be honest, the biggest reason I want Don Addis out of there is because I just can't stand her voice. She talks to everybody like they're in the first grade. But this is a woman who is tripled down on boys and girls sports. She's doubling and tripling down on preventing oil exploration off the coast. She's double and tripling down on the prevention of oil coming out of Kern County.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to a podcast a couple of weeks ago and it was an interview with the head of the Western States Petroleum Association. Kern County, for its size, has the highest concentration of oil in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and fortunate to have Senator Grove over there. That's she's released, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of like 2,000 permits to drill over there. So we're fortunate to have that opened up, but they're pushing on that as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah, and I've heard that, but what I've also heard is the regulators are preventing those permits from going into effect, and so there's concern now that as the pumping of oil out of Kern County dwindles, that it could shut down the oil pipeline going to the refineries. And you mentioned $8 a gallon gas. You know, some people say if that happens, if you have to maintain a certain flow in the pipeline in order to keep it operational.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the percentage is, but if it drops below that percentage, they can't operate it anymore. And so at that point, you know, California becomes completely dependent on imported oil. And when you have your own special blend of gasoline we have two, the summer and winter blends. When you have your own special blend of gasoline, you know, you're at the mercy of the market because the refiners in other parts of the country and other parts of the world are just like, oh, how much you want to pay?
I do want to give your listeners a little bit of hope in that regard, though, too, Kenny, because we do have Trump that's looking at it now. We have Musk that's coming over here that's wanting to put money into the state to turn things around. We have Scott Pressler coming over here to help with the voter ID initiative. Carl DeMaio leading the charge on that voter ID initiative. We have who else? There's so many more from outside the state of California, because they understand what we take for granted in the state is California is pivotally important for not just the rest of the nation, the rest of the world, and we're ground zero for all of these crazy ideas. And if we can stop it at its source, and that's why I'm so invested in what we're doing, we stop it at its source, then we stop it from spreading across the rest of this country.
I agree with you. And this year, I think it's got to be stopped. This is the year that it's got to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I have had this conversation before, and, you know, I think the biggest enemy for the state of California, for common sense in the state of California, is really apathy. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's in the school district where parents are like, you know, I don't really like the boy in the girls' locker room, but, you know, he's not in there the same time my daughter's it's not my problem.
Which isn't true, because you've talked to these girls and proven that. But also, I think...
But it's that mindset.
Right. Yeah. But it's more than just apathy. I think it's voter suppression on the part of the Democrats. And what I mean that is they're the ones subtly undertones pushing this narrative of, well, my vote doesn't count. You know, why bother? You know, I can't do anything about it anyway. We got to stop, because if we just resign to those lines of thinking, then like there's no chance of us ever getting anything back. We have to believe that we can continue to take ground. And I'm connected to people all over the state that are taking ground, whether it's in small ways or even sometimes in big ways.
Well, also you've said that the voter suppression, they've been successful in that, but they've also been successful in painting the picture in people's minds that being involved in your local area even is somehow becoming a politician, and they do that as something that's very distasteful, very bad.
We've seen that on the school board.
That's right. People tell me I'm not a politician. When I ask them if they consider running for office, they say, oh, I can't, I'm not, I don't do politics, or I'm not a politician. I say, We all have to be involved. It's our civic and public duty. We're losing our state if we don't become involved.
Yeah, I brought this up last week, but you know, I think it was a huge mistake in the history of the country to basically establish a bureaucratic class, which happened in
The administrative state?
Yeah. Yeah. The Pendleton Act established that, but it took responsibility away from the locals, and you're supposed to, quote, trust the experts, end quote. All right, going into our last break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385, 805-460-7385.
Relax, reconnect, and indulge this winter at Spa Allegretto at Allegretto Vineyard Resort. During the months of January and February, enjoy 30% off couples treatments, the perfect way to unwind together. From soothing massages to restorative spa experiences, it's an invitation to slow down and savor time side by side. Book your couples escape today by calling Spa Allegretto at 805-369-2524.
All right, feel free to call in, 238-5775. I'm sitting here with Dorian Baker and Mike Harvey, and we are discussing the upcoming elections for 2026. I want to go back and look at, you know, all the bad news and why I'm bringing it up. It's primarily to point out, you know, at what point have people had enough? And again, I see it as apathy. You see it as voter suppression.
Mm-hmm. It's both.
But. Yeah. But when you look at it, it's not going to matter at the end of the year when you have $8 to $10 gas. It's not going to matter whether you're a registered Republican, a registered Democrat, or a no party preference. And so again, you know, looking specifically at Don Addis in District 30. So Shannon Kessler is going to be running against her out of Arroyo Grande. Great lady. I like her a lot.
Great candidate.
She showed up and supported my three heroes, the Wallerman girls and Chloe Breeze. And so I hope she continues to do so. But let's look at, you know, District 30 is basically San Luis Obispo County, Monterey County, and Santa Cruz County. And I pulled up on Wikipedia, the voter breakdown, California locations by voter registration, and it breaks out by county. And so if you look at Monterey County, there are 435,000 people in the county. 43% are registered voters. Of those registered voters, 48% are Democrat, 20 are Republican, and then about 32% are either other or no party preference. You look at San Luis Obispo County, 284,000 population, 60% are registered voters, 34.3% are Democrat, 34.4% are Republican, and then about 31% are no party preference. And then for Santa Cruz County, population is 274,000. 58% are registered. Of that, 54% are Democrat. 13% are Republican.
I'm not surprised for Santa Cruz County.
Yeah, I used to have to surf there, and I hated it. and then other and no party preference is about 35%. So when I add all those numbers up, you know, obviously if you just compare the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats have about 112,000 voter advantage, Democrats over Republican. However, if you add in that no party preference and the other, that's a total of 288,000. So it's about a 51,000 advantage, the Republicans and the non-party preference. So how do we get these non-party preference people? Because they're going to have to pay $10 a gas. Just like the Republicans, and it's going to be because of one party rule in Sacramento. So what should the message, how do you get to those people?
Well, it's really, you know, and I think I'm fortunate to have had a background in business, Kenny. So I understand marketing and all of it. Like politics is really, frankly, just like any other business. Right. Marketing, messaging, super important. And so we do know, and I don't know what the percentages are based on the counties and all that stuff, but NPPs are always going to be a lower propensity voter. Republicans are generally a highest propensity voters as a whole block, but you have your different groups inside of each one of those. But the more we can get out there on social, the more like Shannon can get radio exposure across those counties, the more she can get earned media on television and other places. You know, she's going to have to be out there at the events and like showing up at the typical Republican groups, the usual suspects, is great for your base, but the people you need to reach aren't.
Right.
The majority of them are not in those groups, right?
Yeah, we got to get out of the echo chamber.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you reach those people by just being in the community and doing good for the community and having conversations. We have to have the messaging, one, you know, making an appearance, showing your face, you know, getting that name ID, but then also the ground game is hugely important. Having people that will go out and knock doors, having people that go out and collect ballots. And I know... If somebody hasn't done that before, they're probably thinking, man, that sounds kind of scary. I can tell you from my own personal experience, and my 12, 10, and 7-year-old have all done this as well, knocking on doors. When we give you the right list, most of those guys are going to be Republican anyway. You right. go out there, they're actually thankful. Man, I thought I was the only one in my county that was Republican. Thank you for coming to my door and showing me that I'm not.
Well, we got a few minutes left. Dorian, what's the big thing you want people to walk away with? I know you got a meeting coming up.
January 15th, we're going to have a meeting where we're going to be discussing how to get people energized, what we need to do to support candidates and attract candidates.
Okay, and where is that?
That's going to be at Palomar Homes in Paso Robles.
Okay, and it's open for anybody that wants to join the fight,
sure,
candidate-wise or
absolutely
support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what time was it again?
4 o'clock.
Okay, January 15th at 4 o'clock.
Is there going to be food, drinks, anything like that there? Or?
Well, it's a small space,
uh-huh,
and so probably not at this meeting. But if we have if a lot of people want to be a part of this, then we'll move to a larger location.
Yeah, and there's definitely at least a few that I can think of off the top of my head that would be able to hold that. But yeah, cool.
All right, very good. We'd like to see you. And if people want to get involved, we want you.
Yeah. Do we have a phone number, email, website, anything they can go to?
Yes. RPSLOC.org. We have a great website.
RPSLOC.com.
.org.
Yes. .org. Okay. RPSLOC.org.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike, what is your last word of advice?
My last word of advice is, California, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Continue to stay involved. And if you're not involved, plug in. Find out, you know, go to the rpsloc.org webpage. Find out how you can plug in, whether that's running for office, supporting those who do, or just come in and help and make phone calls, text messages, knock on doors. You know, this state is not lost. And God willing, we will take it back.
Yeah,
I'll
build on that. I think that this election, honestly, is the Republicans to lose. I think you could easily gain, 5 to 10 seats easily in the assembly, and possibly the same in the state senate.
Well, I know specifically in Kern County, we got a one each state. Senate and state assembly, like, very likely we'll be taking those back. So that's at least one each.
Yeah. So we may not be able to retake the state house, but I think we can make a serious dent. Even though you've got Prop 50, I still am not convinced that it's going to go the way the Democrats want.
Well, so David Tongapa, the one who is primarily pushing that, it's Tongapa and America and the people of the United States, something like that,
right?
Because federal government's behind him as well. David's a friend of mine out of the Central Valley. They are taking that all the way to the Supreme Court, and Prop 50 likely will be overturned.
Yeah. So they had the hearing a couple weeks ago. When's the decision supposed to come back?
You know, I haven't heard. I've been trying to get in touch with David. He's a very busy man, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But look, we're not expecting that lower court for it to go in our favor. It's going to go to the Supreme Court ultimately, and yeah, we want it to.
And I think it should. But I don't think the Democrat Party really thought this one out. I mean, you can slice up, you can put as much lipstick on the pig as you want, but you're still going to have, you know, people, you may have more Democrats in that district that have to pay for $10 a gallon gas.
Right.
But they're still going to be upset they're paying for $10 a gallon gas.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So I think it's going to boil down to, again, getting the message out, reaching across party lines, getting out of our comfort zone, not just depending on GOP voters. Going and particularly poaching Democrats and going after preference.
And also going after the lower propensity voters and getting them to actually get engaged in the process.
You know, one of the things I've said to many people, Democrat and Republican, is, you know, the Republican Party is a minority party in the state. There is no room for litmus tests, in my mm-hmm. opinion. When you're a minority, you strike deals and make alliances where you can. When you become the majority, then you can start refining your belief system and holding a litmus test.
Yes.
And start saying, okay, well, I like you over him because he's closer to my belief. So, Ms. Dorian, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Kevin.
You are one of my favorite heroes of the Republic. And then, Mike, I appreciate you making the drive out here.
Thank you, brother, for having me.
I get to buy you a beer now. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks. We'll be right back.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.